Well, that is a guy who is in the fast lane. I mean, he is so cram-packed with life. He's just moving and he's going. You know what? He has no space. You know, and when your life is that way, when you are just full bore, pedal to the metal, over-scheduling, overspending, over-worrying, over everything, there is no space. There's no space in your life. And we're going to talk about, in this whole series, when that space is missing, you are also missing the ability to connect with God. You are missing the ability to have the kind of life, to have the kind of spiritual life that you can only have if there is space in your life. And tonight I'm going to talk about some of my personal learnings this year, over the past year, over how this dynamic has played out. Why don't we just go ahead and let's just pray and ask God to help teach us all tonight. God, I pray that you would help me to say the things that need to be said, and specifically the things that that are true about me as I kind of bear my some of the things in my life. I ask that that would be productive, and that people would be able to learn from some of the good things in my life and some of the bad things. And I pray that we would be on the way to being different people leaving here tonight. And I pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Not a pen. Amen. You know, man, I'm still recovering from life in the fast lane coming up. I want to just like take a 5-minute intro to hear that whole thing coming up. Anyway, hey, I hope you all had a good New Year's. How many of you have made significant New Year's resolutions? Come on, let's be honest. New Year's resolutions, okay? Well, believe it or not, I am not really a big New Year's resolution guy. I've done New Year's resolutions. I still make some goals and stuff like that. But I tend to not be all into, you know, making resolutions for the future at New Year's. But I'll tell you what I do do. It's very similar. What I do every New Year's is I spend a significant amount of time examining my life, thinking through what are the things that have happened in my life, what are the things I need to learn from. And part of this is tying into something that Plato once said. Plato said that the unexamined life is not worth living. So every year I try to spend significant time examining what's happened in my life. And now part of the reasons why I examine what's been happening in my life is because traditionally the first message of the new year, I'll do something called, you know, where I went in 2000 that I won't go again, or where I went in 1999, or where I went in 1998. And it's sort of fictional places that represent something significant that took place in my life that previous year. And, you know, one of the places that I did go this last year, just so I can get this off my chest, a literal place I did go that I really will not go again is the movie Jackass. I must admit that I went to that movie. I figured I may as well come clean on stage before the rumor mill goes out there. In my defense, my only defense is that I don't have cable, and therefore I don't have MTV, and so therefore I really didn't know what I was getting myself into fully, you know, in going. And so all I will say is I will never think of hardware stores again, having seen that movie. But there is a place that I went to over and over again this year. Actually, there's a number of different places, but they all tie into the theme of this series called The Space Between. And tonight, I'm going to talk about some of the stuff that I have learned because it ties into this idea of the space between. And this also ties into a book that I read a number of years ago that's had a profound impact on my life, and that's one of the reasons why I think I'm thinking about this a lot these days. It's a book by the name of Margin, written by Dr. Swenson. I encourage it highly. It's a phenomenal book. And basically what he talks about in this book, and it's a paradigm that we're going to tie into repeatedly over the next six weeks, is that all of us have our limits. All of us have our basic limits. That is, we have a capacity. You know, so for time, we have a capacity of a 24-hour day. All of us have that. That is our limits. And then inside of our limits, there is the current pace of life or our current scheduled appointments or the current things that are happening, and that is our load. That's our load. And then what's left is the space. That's the space. That is the space between our limits and our load. And this takes place in the totality of our life. We have financial space. Well, most of us actually have zero financial space because our limits completely and totally fill up the financial load as defined by the checks the paychecks that come. We have relational space. Or if we have way, way, way too many relationships with space, we have absolutely no space because the load of our relationships is too much. Or we have stress or whatever it is. All of life can be summed up this way. And the space between, if your space is too small, your heart will be too small. Your heart will get hard. Your heart will harden in such a way that you will be void of any meaning in life. You'll be void of any spiritual passion. You will be void of any spiritual significance because it is within that space, that vacant space, that God moves, that God operates. God moves and operates in the totality of life, but there's something unique, special, and powerful that happens when we create space. So let's say you've got a 24-hour day. Okay, so in your 24-hour day, you've got 10 hours of scheduled, maybe occupational time. Maybe you have 7 hours of sleep. You've got an hour of basic errands. Maybe you have 3 hours of commute time, which would account for 3 hours to work and back and work. And if you drop kids off at various places, you're dropping them off or doing whatever you're doing there. Maybe you've got 2 hours of basic things like showering, hygiene, picking out clothes, preparing dinner, eating dinner, cleaning it up, breakfast, all that stuff. And then what happens is with those things, all you have is 1 hour of space left that day. You have 1 hour that you haven't accounted for. You only have 1 hour for you to do something that you did not plan or specifically for God to bring something into your life you hadn't scheduled for. And if your life is totally maxed out, you have no space for God to come in and intervene in your world unless he totally comes into your world and turns it upside down and totally blows you out. There has got to be, as the song we did early in the service, there has got to be more than this. If there's not more to just filling up our schedules and filling up our relational lives and spending every dollar we have, then life is a cruel joke. Now, I'm going to talk oftentimes redundantly about this over the next 6 weeks. We're going to talk about loads and limits next week in bigger depth. We're going to talk about what happens when we do try to live life by my power versus God's power because that's involved in the inner space. We're going to talk about having a fun day. It's going to be really fun, Super Bowl Sunday, the space between the 20 and the goal line. You don't want to miss that one. And we're going to talk about the space that exists between my wants and my needs, financially speaking. We're going to talk about the space that exists between my way and God's way. And I am going to be, at times, seemingly very, very redundant. And this does not come from lack of preparation. This comes from strategic choice because I feel like me talking about the idea of carving out space and altering our life for you to come in here and I get an hour of that one weekend when you are getting 24/7, the complete opposite message is a difficult thing to do. All you and I are hearing from the media and from our bosses and from our own worlds and our own inner voice is maximize, maximize, maximize. You deserve it. Get more. Get promotions. Add this. Get that. Go here. Add more hobbies. Get your kids involved in more activities. Climb this. It's just all of life is all about getting, attaining, and filling up. What happens is we have overcrowded, overstressed lives with absolutely no space. And all of my learnings that I've had from this last year, all my significant learnings relate to this. When I talk about this, please understand, this is not therapy for me. I don't enjoy this at all. One of the reasons I do this is because traditionally, as we've done this, people have said, that really helps me when I hear what's going on in your life like that. That really helps me take a fresh look at my life from a different perspective. And actually, for those of you who feel that way, you're really tying into a significant biblical principle, which is one of the reasons why I choose to kind of share my junk every once in a while. There's a verse from the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11:1, where the Apostle Paul, who's a leader in the early church, says this, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." He was recognizing that as a leader, I recognize that people follow my example. And he actually says, go ahead and do it. And all of us in this place should be leaders. All of us should be people who don't merely react to other people, but set the pace in some area of life. And if you set the pace, you need to realize that people are looking at you and you say, it's okay, because I'm trying to orient my life in the way that I want you to go. Another one from Philippians 3:17. Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. This talks about the deal that just like we do self-examination, it's a good thing to do examination of others. for the purpose of growth, for the purpose of saying, man, there's something in you that I want in my life. And he's saying here that when that happens for the right motives and the right purposes, people grow. People grow. I encountered this last year several ways that illustrate the space between load and limits, the realities of the space. The first way that I encountered this last year was physically. Now, I'm going to talk about a number of things tonight that you might have all, you might have heard me talk before. I'm going to talk about some things you never heard before. But the things I'm going to do, connect this in, is I'm going to tie this into the spiritual principle of the space between. I encountered the realities of the space between physically. I saw a tape of myself a few months ago that we played at a special service that we did here. And this tape here, when I saw this tape, I went, oh, man, I had a little chubby bunny cheeks, didn't I, going on there? And I saw this tape for the first time. I realized why in the world was everyone's always going, you've lost weight, you've lost weight. You know. Well, let me tell you what really popped my mind when I saw this tape. This tape was actually shot inside of this building just after HQ had vacated. And I was standing right about here. We did a little makeshift stage. Right here was on like a wooden platform, and there's a bunch of people came, a few hundred people came, and many of you were there that night, and there was card table chairs, and people were sitting, and we were just celebrating some of the things that God had done to enable us to get into this place. And here's the thing that I remembered that I didn't remember before. What I remembered was how uncomfortable it was for me to give that talk. Specifically, I remember the difficulty I had getting up on stage and off of the stage. I remember that we had these makeshift steps that I was so thankful for. Because for me to climb up on a platform this high was a very, very difficult thing to do because I was the condition of my back was going further and further and further south. My muscles were getting more and more tense and more weak. And, of course, when that happens, what you tend to do is you just don't exercise. You just take it easy and you mellow out. And I was remembering how difficult it was for me to get up on stage that night. And also, as I spoke, I remember that I was being careful about where I went because there was like ridges in this thing. And if I had a trip, my back was such that I would go, oh, man, I need to make sure I get this thing right. And I would not have a lot of range of motion. I try to keep everything pretty parallel like this. To move like this was very difficult for me. Now, what am I saying here? Here's why I'm saying all this. What I'm saying is I worked starting 2 years ago on flexibility exercises and strengthening exercises. I was always active, but I was not exercising the muscles in around this area and making them more flexible so that my back could be dealt with. And, you know, for a while, my life got more complicated. But this last year, you know, because of that discipline, I had this space, this physical space that enabled me to do things that I never thought that I could do again. Or it enabled me even just to prepare messages at my laptop computer without thinking about my back, without thinking about my posture, because my back became a non-issue. And it's not for me, it wasn't a matter of the vanity of visual physicality. It was the practicality of physicality. It was the practicality of creating your life so that there's this space which enables you to have a greater load, to be able to do more things physically because you've respected the space between. You know, for so often in my life, it was just eat whatever you want, drink whatever you want, whenever you want to, however you want to exercise, fine. If you don't want to exercise, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about those things. And in essence, there's absolutely no physical space. And this is a spiritual principle of space, a principle of honoring God with your body, partly because God has blessed us with our bodies and partly because when we do that, we have greater limits. We can do things more physically. And this last year, I really recognized that in a unique way that really wasn't personal to me like that before this year. And one of the reasons that that this enabled me to do some things was in the area of occupationally. I learned the reality of space between occupationally. Now, part of the reason I play that clip is I can never get too much Tommy Boy. That's part of the reason I do that. And, you know, if you're ever around here more than a year, you'll see a clip at least 3 times every year because I like it. But actually, what's happening in that clip is not the kind of space we're talking about. There we have a guy who has space, but it is slacker space. It is space that is there because he is not being diligent in doing the kind of things that he need to do. In fact, some of us in here may have way too much space You know, doing stuff like that, way too much. You need to take a bigger load on your life, you know. For me, and all the problems I do have in my life, this has not been one of my traditional problems of not working and not being diligent. You know, one of the things that you know, you'll never have to worry about here at Crossroads is getting your money's worth out of me. I mean, I just like to work, and occupationally, I mean, this is my occupation. This is work for me, defined as, I mean, I get paid for this, but otherwise, it's not really work. I mean, I love what I do, and so therefore, if you couple a halfway strong work ethic with somebody who loves what they do, you know, you will voluntarily expand your load and take on more and more and more and more. In this last year, my load has expanded. People have asked me, you know, Brian, someone just a couple weeks ago, you know, said, hey, are you doing okay? I'm concerned. Concerned because this place has doubled and your life just must be nutso. It must be absolutely out of control. Now, the first 6 months were, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But on the whole, like now, the last half of the year, I looked at him and said, no, you know, I am doing great. I'm doing great. Now, Donna, be clear, there has been an increased level of stress in coming into here with, you know, with the place doubling, because it doubles, you know, our core business doubles. And what's our core business? People. When you serve God, you serve people. And you know what? People come with problems. And when there's people and when there's problems, there's pain, there's conflict. I mean, it's just kind of the way it always has worked. So there has been a unique level of stress here. But, you know, I have just loved this, specifically this last 6 months, because I've understood this value of space, and there are limits to what I can do and what I need to do. Jesus says this in the book of Matthew that we'll come back to this a few different times. Here's what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, when I first read this verse, I had the reaction that many of you might have had. You might have read this verse and said, okay, does this mean then if I become a follower of Christ, I immediately inhabit a Volkswagen van and start singing Kumbaya? Is that what this means? Does this mean that I just, you know, I release myself of any responsibility and life is just, you know, sitting around a campfire and doing Kumbaya? And that is not what this means. This does not mean that we shirk responsibility and what God calls us to is a yoke of no significance. A yoke was a thing that would go around an oxen's head, around his neck, that would be used to pull what was behind him, to pull something. And what Jesus is saying here is this. He says, if you come to me, if you orient your life the way I want it oriented because I am in your life will not be stressful because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Is Jesus saying that we are going to have the kind of life that has no problems? No, that's not what he's saying. But what he's saying is this. Though there are seasons of your life when it is just full out stressful, difficult, if that is all your life is about, if that's all it's about, then you do not have the kind of life that God designed you to have. And so whenever I'm stressed out, I know it's one of two problems. Well, first, maybe it's a unique season. For instance, if you're an accountant, April 13th will always be stressful. Always. But whenever I'm stressed, I go to myself, all right, what is on my plate that God does not want on my plate? What am I pulling that God doesn't want to be pulled? Or, two, what am I pulling in a way that God doesn't want pulled? Because the overall value of my life, God has created us to have lives that have burdens that are easy, that has a life that is a life of peace. And what does it mean to be peace? To have a level of peace doesn't mean to have a level of, it means to have order. It means to have order. Now, the first 6 months coming in here, I didn't have a lot of order. And one of the things that has happened here over the last several months is that I've tried to create space. One of the ways I've created space in relationship with our programming team, who orchestrates the services and figures out what's going to happen and brainstorms things, is to back out of meetings. I'm in less meetings than I used to be. I still do have my A-team, which is my time with some guys who we do life together and read the Bible together and pray together from 6:30 to 8. And then what I did is I would be in a meeting then from 8:30 to 11:30, 3 hours straight with this programming thing. And then we decided to chop off my time and for me to only show up at the meeting at 9:30. And so what that did is that created immediate space. Now, the weird thing about this is this. If you get all fired up about creating space in your life, eliminating things in your life, you need to really understand this is difficult. It's difficult because it puts you in a very, very vulnerable position. Because what this did for me is I no longer had the control that I once had. Because I could sit in meetings, and as soon as an idea came up that I didn't like, I'd say, I don't like that idea. Except now, ideas get going outside of my presence, and it's a lot harder, and it takes a lot more guts to actually come in and kill an idea that's been going for a while. And you know what? You should all be thankful for this. And this is one of the things. You should. This is one of the things that happens about the space between. When you do this, there is a power that comes that you couldn't have orchestrated. It puts yourself in a very vulnerable position because vulnerability is a principle that God likes. And whenever there's a principle or a value, a core value to God, God blesses that. And God blessed this level of vulnerability a number of ways. One of the ways might have been that these people who were in this meeting didn't feel the ominous presence of the boss to shoot down their ideas. So they got a little more wild and crazy. And when they would get a little more wild and crazy, I would have to be vulnerable and go, gosh, you've already worked on this idea. I'll let it go. Now, I'll tell you one time specifically that this happened was a number of weeks ago. We did a message in the midst of how to raise children. And we did a video along with a song from POD of Columbine. And they saw all fired up about this song, Columbine. And I'm like, really? And then I saw the video they wanted to do. It was all put together. And, you know, you saw the video, kids on stretchers and being pulled out of buildings. And, you know, and if you weren't there, you have the exact same reaction I had, going, you know. But, you know, and me getting out, they made the great call, and it was a fantastic idea, and we were all the better for it, all of us for it. And it traced back to the space in between, and it traced back to being more vulnerable. If you come to a place where you want to create space in your life, you will be vulnerable because you will give up control. And when you give up control, that right there says, God, I want more of you in my life, because God is all about control. God is always saying, I know your life better than you do. I know what needs to happen. Let me in. Let me have space. Let me infiltrate the entirety of your life. One of the ways that my occupational space, or actually lack thereof, my lack of space, first several months of this year affected me was another place, was matrimonially. Matrimonially. You know, a year ago today, I was having great fun. We had just kind of showed up in this building. We were here for a month. And actually, it started much earlier than that. Because several months earlier, we were doing the finishing touches in the building. We had, like, blueprints we were reorganizing. Where there's parking plans. There's ingress. There's egress. There's strategy about where we're putting volunteers for parking and ushers and greeters and how, you know, how to serve. All this planning. And I loved it. I loved it. My first job was at Hardee's. And I used to love the lunchtime rush when we would get slammed. I used to love that. I loved the exhilaration of trying to keep up with things. And I was loving the work and the exhilaration of keeping up with things and coming into here. And then once we get in here, then there's all kind of modifications, the things you got to change, the things you got to do, and more people and all that stuff. And it was incredible, incredible fun. Now, to be clear, there were other people who were part of the team, other people who were primarily responsible for those things, no question. But I wanted to insert myself because I enjoyed the work. I loved it. It was a fantastic thing. You know, the only thing that wasn't that great about it was the level of conflict we had in here the first few months, because as we doubled, a lot of the people who came in were people who were transfers from other churches, whereas what we've really tried to be as a church is building people who were not going to church before and attracting people who are not sure that they're a follower of Christ or they want to be. And that's one of the reasons we need to do some vision clarification this Wednesday. But I was so excited about it. And one of the reasons I was so excited about the work is what Vince Lombardi said. This is one of my favorite quotes. Vince Lombardi said this: I firmly believe that any man's finest hour, his greatest fulfillment to all he holds dear, is that moment when he has to work his heart out in a good cause and he's exhausted on the field of battle, victorious. I read that and I went, oh, yeah, I love that idea. This idea of some football player all bloody and bruised and exhausted. And, you know, I watched the Ohio State-Miami game. I had to watch it all the way to the end because I love seeing the guys tired at the end. I love the exhilaration of it at the end. And I love that quote. There's only one problem with it, though. Vince Lombardi was incredibly victorious in his work life, in his football career, but you know what? He was a capital L loser in his family life. Capital L loser in his marriage. He was exhausted in the field of battle, and then he had no space. He had no emotional space or time space left for Marie, his wife. And I'm ashamed to say, the first 6 months, first several months coming to this place, you know, there's a difference between being slammed, keeping up with it, and being slammed on your back, gasping for air. And that's exactly what happened to me, and I didn't know it. I didn't know it in my marriage with Libby. I didn't really see it coming. I didn't realize it. If it wasn't the long hours, it was when I was home, I was still here because my mind wasn't with her with my marriage. I was just way, way out there. And what happens is, if you don't have any space at all in your life, you can fake it for a long time. You can get by. But then all of a sudden, you get slammed and you get it real quick. And somewhere around February, I started to get it. And, you know, the way it starts to manifest itself is you know something's wrong, and so you try to put some fixes on it and try to do some things that'll work, and those fixes backfire, and they don't work. Things that used to work don't work. So we go out every night. Every night we go out in our deck and debrief from the day. In fact, for most nights we still do something like that. We debrief, and we sit out there, and we talk. And, you know, those things evolved into nothing more than fights. And, you go out and you say, okay, this night's going to be different. We're going to work on this, and I'm going to try to say this different. And every night, it was fight night, every single night. And I started to get really, really concerned about it. In fact, when we were emotionally volatile, which was very often, that wasn't as scary as when you become emotionally distant. Because at some point, you start to go, you know what, it's just not worth it. And you start not talking about the things that are difficult. And friends, I tell you, it was hell. And, you know, just so you know how bad it was, for the first time in my life, I put mental space into considering making a career move. I came down and I said to myself, you know, if I look at where the trend is going here in our marriage, and I look at what's happening, I can't have the kind of family life I know God demands that I have and honor my wife and honor my family and do this at the same time. I don't think I can do it. And I let a very few people in on that thing, and they knew what was going on. I just bring it up right now. I can't go into all the details for obvious reasons. It's a public forum. But, you know, I only know I get difficult marriages now. I get them. And you know what ours trace back to? Lack of space. Lack of space. Fooling yourself that you can just keep adding more and more and more to your life. It was very, very scary. I wouldn't talk about it today if we weren't in a different place. We're in a different place. We're in a really, really good place. We really counted the cost on whether or not I was going to, you know, talk about this. We're in a really good place. And I'll just tell you, you know, two things about that. First is, I shudder to think what would have happened had I not already pre-scheduled the summer study break I take every year. I take January and large part of June off. I've been working on it for the last few years. First year I came across, I didn't take any vacation. And then since then, I've been kind of just adding some on and having a space to study and just kind of recalibrate family life. And this last summer was the longest we ever did. And I don't think we'll ever do it longer than that, but it was about 7 weeks. And we just went out and disconnected and got in Florida. And I tell you, I shudder to think, you know, what would have happened if we didn't have predefined in there an escape time, a space time. That was the beginning of it. And if you've ever been in the place where you are marriagely, you know that there's not like this instant fix. Ooh, okay, 7 weeks, we're good now. Yeah, woo, been to the beach, everything's great. No, you know, there are fixes, but, you know, there are still seasons to cycle out of that. And while we are in a great place right now, there are still some aftershocks from that whole thing, from violating this principle of the inner space, of the yoke being easy and the burden light, when it is the burden, when it is the yoke that God would have for us. Book of Lamentations says this, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. You know, when we've got problems in our life, the place for us to not, to where most of us go is, God, how could you dare do this? How? What are you doing? You know, I don't start there. Where I start is, okay, I need to examine my ways. What have I done? What have I not done that may have brought this on me? And as that verse says, when I examine it, what happens is you find that you're away from God's ways, and so you return to Him. You turn around and you return. That doesn't mean like you return to, okay, I believe in God again. No, it returns to having your life be ordered the way God would have it be ordered in every single way. And one of the ways that we experience this, okay, that's over. Okay, so everyone breathe. We're doing good. We really are. Little smiles here. We really are. Don't be boo-hooing us. You know, if we weren't in a good place right now, I would have never brought it up. But one of the things that we did see this really positively play out in our marriage, in our family life, is another reality, and that is financially. We saw it physically, occupationally, matrimonially, and financially. Now, this one is really weird for me to talk about, and there's a lot of different reasons for this to be weird to talk about. But I really felt, as I thought through this and I examined this, that it would be honoring to God to talk about this. In many ways, we've had some incredible things happen in our life financially this last year. And one of the reasons why it's really weird for me to talk about it is because most of the time you hear somebody in a church talking about good things financially, it's, you know, with some southern drawl, you know, give because you're going to be blessed. And so, you know, and there's all this kind of like garbage attached to that. And I just don't go there. But, you know, all that to say, there still is this biblical principle of when you take the financial load that God wants you to take and you create space in your life, there is a unique way that God tends to, isn't guaranteed to, but tends to show up. And we, like many of you, have been on a 3-year journey where we made a significant commitment above and beyond our normal offering. Now, I talked about this a number of years ago, just to bring you up to speed. I read the Bible, and King David, whenever they went and built a temple, he said, here's what I'm going to give, because I want to model for you my example of what I'm doing, because I don't want anybody to not do what I'm to do something I'm not doing. So King David talked about that. So I went into some detail about 3 years ago and said, this is the kind of commitment we're going to make. And I share with you reasons. We had always valued the principle of tithing, giving back 10% to God, and we were a little bit beyond that. And I really felt that it was right for us to add another 10% on top of that for 3 years. And there was going to come a cost with that. Some of the cost was going to be no cable. That's one of the reasons why I'm not tempted to watch MTV and Jackass. You know, no, we don't have it because we can't do it. So, as well, and the other cost was, you know, I've joked about it a lot, but, you know, our family of five has one bathroom, not one and a half, one. And we were making a decision that was going to make it be that we were not going to get into a house that had more bathrooms and a garage and stuff like that inside 3 years. And I said at the time, God could do anything that He wants, but we feel led to make a commitment that's going to make that not happen unless something very unique happens. And, you know, one of the places that we've gone as a result of God's blessing is in this place. And God has uniquely made some stuff happen that is just so exciting to talk about. And I just want to mention a couple minutes because I know a lot of you have the same exact story. And we need to encourage one another with this. One example that a unique thing that God brought along, I think God brought along, is, you know, a guy approached me about doing some speaking for his corporation, Johnson & Johnson. I did a couple of motivational speaking gigs for Johnson & Johnson. One of them, I went down to Doral Country Club. I went to our board and asked permission to do this. I said, this is why I think it might be a good idea for my speaking skills and stuff. Will you allow me to do this? I said, yeah, I think it'd be great. I went down and did that. And let me tell you, I found out why motivational speakers are so motivated. My word. My goodness. Never expecting that hit. And, you know, boom. So, okay, another way God showed up is with our house. We've actually closed on a house. We're in the process of getting into a new house. And it's because Brian Wells said, I just saw this for sale sign, for sale by owner, by this lot that I just bought. You might want to call. I thought, why not? For sale by owners. Might be some nutso. Might sell for $10. Why not? I'll call him up. So I call him up. And what do you know? Somebody who's connected with Crossroads, daughter comes here, has a special heart for it, and they did some creative means and said, gosh, we'd like to see if this can work. And it did. Now, and I am just ecstatic. And I think it's because of the way we ordered our finances. Now, here's the thing. What we did, and this is the magic. This is the magic of this principle. The space between for us, we made a decision. The space between is not sacred. Okay, it's not. It is a principle. See, many of us, we think, okay, the goal is to have unallotted time, unallotted, you know, money, to have space. That is not the goal. The goal is God. That is the goal. The goal is God. It just so happens that if you're not mindful of the space, God's presence and power will not be as manifest in your life if, you know, than if you blow him off. And so we chose, since God was the goal, we went through a process with him and decided, okay, we think it's right to eliminate our space. So we made commitments that we didn't know how we were going to make. We cashed ourselves out financially, except for our IRAs, and we had no space. Zero space. And God honored that space. He honored that decision, and he came in, and his power was made manifest in a very, very unique way. And this thing works in every area of your life. Every area of your life. There is this difference between my power, what I can do, and God's power. My way, what I can do, and God's way. And, you know, we just are blown away by seeing how God has honored this in the midst of it. Psalm 119:59 says this, "I've considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes." Wouldn't it be great if all of us came to a place of considering our ways and turning our steps to God's statutes, meaning his plan, meaning his order? And I just ask you, friends, I'm telling you, I know enough of us in here to say this, the way we're doing life, it doesn't work. It doesn't. Your life was not designed to be lived the way you're living it. Money was not meant to be spent the way you're spending it. Time was not meant to be lived the way you're living it. Your, you know, occupation, it is not meant. I'm speaking gradually for many of you I know. It was not meant to be done the way you're doing it. You are doing it in a way that's bringing a load on you. It's bringing a burden on you that is crushing your spirit and crushing the kind of life God wants you to have. If you hang in here this series, this will not be easy. It will not be easy because the whole point of this message is the American way doesn't work because we're all living the American way. It is not easy to overcome that, but it is best to overcome that. If you will hang in there and do some hard work this series, you will find that there will be a life of power. There will be a life of levity. There will be a life of significance that you never imagined possible. Let me pray for you that happens for you this new year. God, I ask that you would help this series be something that makes this new year for us something like we've never experienced before. I pray that you would help us every week when we come in here get ready to see what needs to be eliminated from our life and what needs to be added. And most importantly, God, I pray that you and your influence would expand in our life. I pray these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.